All right, let's get into Revelation. And so wonderful to, again, be back in this wonderful scripture. And I just trust that God so sweetly come in this evening and bring forth His Word. Now, we had left off in the 21st chapter. And again, just to highlight from the ninth verse of the 21st chapter, we started to read and study a little bit further on that Holy Jerusalem. And we found that the Holy Jerusalem was the bride, the Lamb's wife. And she is seen coming down from heaven with the wondrous glory of God, as we read there in the 11th verse. And notice that she had the light. And that light that she had was as that wondrous jasper stone. And the jasper stone speaks of the diamond. And the diamond is only brought out really one other place, speaking about, in a sense, an entity or a person, and that we saw was in Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, when it was speaking of Jesus Christ Himself. So we see that that bride is in His image. It's the very image, praise God. It's the ones that will be like Him, as we studied in the four living creatures, that we saw that they represented the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of Jesus Christ Himself, and in that He was basically fulfilled in their life. The love of God was perfected in their life. They were perfect and complete in all the will of God. And, you know, truly, again, how precious, how divine. And really, you know, you talk about divine. Well, we started hitting the number 12 all the time, remember? And we saw that that was the divine blessing. It was divine government through the 12th and the 13th verse. But how precious it is that God has brought us that vision in our life. What a moment that we have in our life. And it is a brief moment, but what a precious moment that we can focus in and truly run for the prize of the high calling of God and His Son. Just what a wonder that God has called us to that. So we see, again, going through that 12th and 13th verse, we saw there that that number 12 was so prominent. 12 speaking of Israel, the divine blessing, divine government. And notice again that everything, those gates as we'll read about, it's 12. Everything comes through Israel. God chose that group of people to bring forth His Word. God chose that group of people to bring forth His Son. And it all came through Israel. And again, I was thinking how fitting it is in this time that they're starting to recognize that all the blame again is going back on Israel for everything that's happening. Did you know that? Did you know that every act of terrorism, every act of a problem that's over in the Middle East is all due to Israel? And it is. In a marvelous and a wonderful way, it is. Praise God, because God put it there. And they're all blaming Him. And isn't it amazing that we've cycled back 50 years later? Germany was pointing the finger back then. But now it's everyone. And unfortunately, this time you can see the United States being swayed a little bit against Israel. It's happening, brothers and sisters. It is happening. And that's why the hair standing back on the back of my neck right now, as I think that Jesus could come at any moment. So praise His name. So we're going to pick it up, Lord willing, here in the 18th verse. And what we've been talking about here to kind of wrap up the last four or five verses is this city that's coming down, this bride adorned. And we saw that this city represents all the children, all the wonderful kingdom of God. But it has her name. It's Holy Jerusalem. It's, excuse me, His name, the Holy Jerusalem. And that is Jesus Christ and obviously His bride. And this is His family. It's just, again, as I was pointing out, the Lord again brought to me, it's like my family. I am the husband. I am the husband of my family, and I have a wonderful wife. And really, truly, I, in a sense, she really is, in a sense, the glory for me. I mean, I love my wife. I'm glad she's not here. I'd get in trouble again. But I love her very, very much, and I'm very honored that she is my wife. And I know that she is pleased with me. I know that by the grace of God that she knows that I am pleased with her. And there is that harmony that we have by the grace of God. And then we have children. And those children by the grace of God are our family. And they're part of that family. And they have my name upon them. They have the name Odorcio. And it's just like this new Jerusalem. It has the name of bridegroom written all over it, or Jesus Christ. It is that name, but she is the one with him that gets that glory. And she is adorned with all the rest of the family. And that's what we've been reading about, these walls and these gates and these different things that have brought us to this 18th verse. And now we're going to read a little bit more about the walls of the city. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, the building of this, again, you'll see it bringing up jasper. And you say, well, there's that diamond again. Well, sure, I think my children, they look more like their mother, I think, but they do have a resemblance of their dad. And these children are the children of the king, Christians, in some way, shape, or form, I will say, do have a resemblance of Jesus Christ. Obviously, when they're in heaven, they are going to have that. Because the only thing that's going to heaven, brothers and sisters, is the new creation. Okay? All of that other stuff. That's how we're all going to get along. Did you know that? See, a lot of people say, well, how could I go? I'm not going to heaven if she's going to heaven. And I don't want to be next to her. And that mansion better be way down the street from that brother. Huh? They ever heard that before? See, you're going to be in perfect harmony. You ever thought that before, right? But see, God and only God can do that. But see, He wants to have us rid of that bitterness right now, for that the place that we can take with Him. And I can testify tonight before you that God has delivered me from much bitterness, from much things that had been in my life that I know God wanted me to overcome. I appreciate that. I know that there is a brother and sister that recently have not been coming to church very much, and they had contacted me back, and they felt that there was some cliques going on within the church. You know, it was hard for them to really enter in, and the different things like that. And my heart breaks in a sense, and I hope we wouldn't be that way. We need to be open to love and the things of God. And I do commend, for the most part, as I look out here, I believe the love of God is flowing freely through your lives, and it's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, when we start to not want to come to church because of an individual or because of a thing, how about thinking of it this way? Maybe there's something really God wants me to overcome. Isn't that what it's about? You know it. Brother Hill used to tell us all the time, the diamonds cut the diamonds. Now I want to cut you with the love of God. I really do. I really do. But you know what? I might rub you a little bit one way or another too. But as God has shown me as in my life as well too, a lot of times I didn't understand what a brother or sister was doing. And I'm talking about under the hand of God. And I've learned that better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. And we need to learn that. And we need to learn by the grace of God that we're about a message. It's about a message. Everybody's not going to, in a sense, necessarily like you, want to be around you, or different things of that nature. You need to quit taking it personally. You need to take it from the hand of God. I'm not giving you all excuse now, free for all, to be rude. But it's something of an overcomer is what we want to be after. We want that in our life. Okay. So again, this jasper, you could see that the city was like her. It was like him. And that glory that's being emitted was just so wonderful. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The very righteousness of the saints that we're seeing here. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And it was so precious, I can talk about Sister McGuire because she's not here too. And she was just all giddy because she was thinking again of those wonderful stones. And praise God, again, that we read back in Revelation 19:7, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed." This was how she was arrayed, "in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." And this is the adornment of the bride of Christ. This is the wonderful gems and jewels and the different things of that nature. I appreciated so many times that Brother Austin, there really wasn't a week that went by. I was in his Sunday school class, one of the very first ones, and I think God had always given us such a sweet fellowship and love, and I appreciate him so, and just thrilling for him to be right there with Christ. I just am so thankful that God has given us such peace in him that place. But he would always say, "Oh, you're a jewel in my crown." Now, I pray to God I'm a jewel in His crown, but that's that thing, is that we can also, and as one another, we can be jewels in one another's crown and giving the Word of God to one another and blessing one another with the very love of God. So what a privilege. But this, the foundations and the walls were garnished with all manner of precious stone. And that's where we're going to start here. And I'm going to take a little bit of time because I think, Lord willing, we'll take a couple weeks to finish everything out here. But you'll notice that there are 12 stones that we're going to talk about. Again, it's divine. You don't realize how divinely blessed you are. You know, Christmas time, a lot of people can just, you know, dwell on what they don't have and how bad it is and who doesn't like me. But you're divinely blessed. And you need to know how divinely blessed you are. And again, like we talked about last Sunday, the thankfulness that should be pouring out of our lives by the grace of God. And I'm not trying to, in a sense, make you feel badly, but I would hope this would convict us to feeling maybe, in a sense, sorrowful towards God and what He's done in His Son for us, that we would be a thankful people to say, Lord, I truly am divinely blessed. Praise God. So let's start with these 12 stones. And then the first one you'll notice here, it says, the first foundation was jasper. And again, we've been hitting that. And we see here that that is the diamond. And the diamond speaks that He will be made prominent. That's what that means there. And obviously this diamond is transparent. And that transparency has been seen in His saints and especially in the Bride of Christ. And again, these 12 stones, it's just like the four attributes of the four living ones. You know, the Matthew, as we saw there, as the king, as the lion, and Mark, as we saw, as the servant or the calf, and Luke, we see there as the man, and John, we see as the overcoming eagle. Those attributes need to be present right now by the grace of God in His bride. We need to be, in a sense, by His grace, that working in me. It's the same thing with these stones. These are the evidence of Jesus Christ and the characteristics, as we go through this, I would pray, are working in each and every one of our lives today, and obviously will be magnified by the grace of God when we are on the other side. All right, so then the second one, it says, is a sapphire. Now, the sapphire is a blue stone. It speaks of heavenly. I want to have a heavenly quality. I don't know about you, but that's, again, that choice. We talk about perspective. Am I living where I am seated? Or am I living where I am seeing? And I really believe that. I want to live that I am seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ right now. That's where I am. But there is a choice that I should live that heavenly possession. And this is that heavenly that we're talking about here, that the very testimony of Jesus Christ's transformation in our life is going on. Okay, number three is the chalcedony, which is a copper color. It speaks of durability, which speaks of the durability of the glory of God. It's never fading. Know that Jesus Christ truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever in our lives. That He is there for us. That even all of those wondrous miracles that God did and through His Son, and we'll read about that a little bit later on, Lord willing, today. But that all of those miracles that He did, the greatest of miracles is being done right now in the preparation of the Bride of Christ. Again, do you realize that the greatest faith, I truly believe that God has encouraged this in my life, for us to be in this time and in this place and to truly be running the race for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that's the greatest faith of all time. I really do believe that. I believe it was greater than sitting there at the edge of the Red Sea and seeing the Egyptians coming, knowing after what God had already done to what was going to happen. I believe this is the greatest of faith. But this is the greatest of faith that's going to have the greatest reward too, isn't it? Praise God. You see? It says, much been given, there's going to be much required. And praise God, there's going to be much bestowed upon His heavenly. So praise His name. All right, now the fourth one was the emerald. And that is a green stone. It speaks of resurrection, the resurrection power of His life. Again, thinking of that wonderful verse, how do we know Him? We know Him in the power of His resurrection. We have to understand and truly come into that union with Christ Jesus of knowing what happened when He rose again. It was completed. It was finished. Praise God. And He finished that for me. I am not under that anymore. It's over. I again so appreciated John bringing out that the law is not made for the righteous man. And you know what? I just happen to be righteous because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? How could something be so simple, yet nobody wants to take a hold of? Isn't that amazing? It's not for me. Grace is for me. How about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. Those little simplicities that are brought out. And it's just like I was speaking to Sister Grace, and it was so wonderful. She was saying how, you know, honey, it's just been so sweet. How God has been to us this past year, and you know, being in the meeting, and it's been like honey. You know, it's just so wonderful to her. See, I can talk about when you don't come to church, I talk about you, and so it was so sweet because she said, you know, it was like that little verse or this little word or things like that. It was like I never saw him before. I said, isn't that amazing? Jesus just is writing more of the Word of God, and we were just kind of chuckling at that. It's always been there, obviously. But it becomes real. That's the living Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? And you'll take the same text that meant so much to you or means so much to you, and God took you to this glory with it, and it might be 2-3 years, it might be 10 years later, it might be 15, and He'll take you to another glory with those same words. That's your Lord. That's the Word of God. That's why it's just so powerful and so amazing. There is nothing like it. And truly, I believe I'm a pretty well-read person. I've read much in my lifetime. And I'm telling you, I've never read anything like this, because there isn't anything like this. Because this is the living Word. This is your wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to number 5, which is the sardonyx, which is reddish. It speaks of humanity, the humanness of Jesus, how He became and made Himself a man. And obviously so fitting that it is the number 5, because in all of that, that very God became a man. Let me tell you something. Great grace, period. Great grace. That this God loved us so that He became a man. Tempted, tried, tested in every way. He knows His product, doesn't He? Praise God. He knows you. And He doesn't just know the product, He knows the individual product. And each one of us, by the grace of God, are very individual. There's none two alike. Just like the sands, just like the grains, just like the snowflakes. Let me tell you something, you're a lot more valuable than all that. And He showed us in that creation, there aren't two alike. He didn't make any of us alike. He knows you, okay? You're special to Him. I'm not trying to just patch in there and say, oh, you're a special person. No, you're special because of Him, and He's made just that way. So praise God. All right, number 6 is the sardius. It's again another reddish colored stone. It speaks of unfading, the newness of life, the new creation. And praise God again, as I already commented earlier, I just wrote a little note, and that's the new creation, the only part of us that's ever going to continue. By the grace of God, that's how we can get along up there someday. Okay, so just pack that one in your heart and understand. But pray to God that you can, like I say, seek peace with men as much, with all men as much as lies within you. Really, I want so much to lie within me. And I know by the grace of God, more and more is coming in all the time. And it's going to be tried. Now, again, a lot of people will talk about that verse, and then they'll start wanting to compromise the truth. And that has nothing to do with that. We stand in defense of the gospel. It's not about compromising truth. It's about understanding that there, we should have a love to all men. All. That's the love. But then again, at the same time, I love you so much that by the grace of God, I'm going to stand in defense of the gospel wherein we stand. Praise His name. All right. Now, number 7, the chrysolite. That's a golden stone. Speaks the glory of the resurrection. And again, the glory of the resurrection is transparent in His people. I want that transparent in me today. I want to be thankful. How could we not speak about the things which we have seen, the things which we have heard? When God gets into us and He truly, we get on fire for God, we can't help but tell people about Jesus. We can't help but want to please our wonderful Savior. That's what the love of God does. It happens from the inside out. I always appreciated again how my mom raised me. It was not a do and don't home. All the kids are saying, wait, can I get into that house? Right? No, it wasn't that. You know what it was? Fall in love with Jesus, son. Just fall in love with Him. And you know what? She was right. He takes away the things that shouldn't be there. They just go away. And the reason that, I shouldn't even say it almost, He takes it away. It's not that. It's just He fills you up with His love and the goodness that it just pushes out all that other stuff. It really does. That's what Christ Jesus can do. And I appreciate that so much in my life, because I truly believe that that's how you begin to see the grace of God. You begin to see it's His working power in your life, that we are truly His workmanship. And that gives me peace, because then the pressure's not on me. Do you understand that? There's no pressure on Him, because is anything hard for God? But I understand that, Lord, it's Yours. You will take care of this peace. Now, I want it to be Your workmanship, and I want it to be Your masterpiece, but I understand that, God, You're in control of it. All right, then number 8 is the beryl. That is a blue-green stone. It means she will impoverish. Kind of interesting there, but this impoverished speaks of the devil. The devil has been impoverished. The devil has been removed. And why is the devil being removed and going to be removed completely out of the whole thing? Is because to make room for the coming glory. And that coming glory, the epitome of it, is the bride of Christ. It's just like we were talking about last week. I mean, when the bride comes down from heaven, that devil's got to be completely out of there. I mean, it's just like we were talking about, you getting ready your home for the bride that you're going to bring home. You want to make sure it was ready. I put furniture in there. I did all of those things. Now, I did it wrong. But she appreciated the effort, even though everything clashed and it had to change. But see, when Jesus Christ does it for us, by His grace, if we attain and hope to attain to that place, it's going to be perfect. And He is going to rid the devil out of and obviously into that lake of fire. Number 9 is topaz. It's yellow. It means the affliction is gone. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's no more sting of death. He took it all. It's the only thing that's left is joy unspeakable. And again, that's Brother Ernie Austin, as we said, so long, brother. See you in that glorious morning. And he went to that realm, didn't he? Praise God. Yeah. See, that's what gives us peace. I'm just so thankful. I could not imagine living a life thinking that, well, it's just like an animal who just dies and goes away. What a waste. That truly is what a waste. But more of a waste is I know that when you don't know Christ Jesus as your Savior, you go to an eternal hell and an eternal lake of fire. That's the biggest waste. And we don't want that. But there are ones that are going to choose that. And unfortunately, more and more wisdom of man and their puffiness and their own goodness is leading them right down that path. All right, number 10 is chrysophorus. It's blue, green, with a goldish hue upon it. It speaks of divine achievement, and that's the divine achievement of the cross. The divine achievement, praise God, of the Holy Spirit, which produces this gem. You see that Jesus Christ and His blood is what cleansed me. It's what made me the new creation. And then by the grace of God, He sent His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is taking the very things of Christ as I allow Him to fill my life. And He makes them mine. He makes me Christ-like. Praise His name. And number 11 is the jacinth. And that is a violet-colored stone. It speaks of royalty and reigning. And again, there are going to be heirs of God, obviously. There's the majority of the people in heaven will be heirs of God, but then there are the joint heirs. So there is royalty there for everyone. Praise God. We're part of the family. Let me tell you something. There's princes, there's earls. You know, I don't know all that other stuff. I don't follow it that close, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Duchesses and dukes and, you know, any more if you chase it far enough, everybody's something, huh? That's why it don't mean nothing. I think you can send away and they'll give you a little plaque that says you're something, huh? See, I'd rather find out it's in here. It's a lot cheaper. Okay, so that violet speaks of royalty and reigning. And then number 12 is the amethyst, which is a very purple color. And I love this last one and how it finishes out. The amethyst is the dream stone. And I was thinking again, this truly is my dream come true. And it's not a dream, and I don't mean to put it in that fashion at all. But of everything that I could ever hope and want, and again, all praise be to God, because He's the one by His grace that has given us that vision, is this is coming. This is coming. This is reality. This is the most real thing that there is. This is going to be, in a sense, finality, but it's finality of the beginning of forever. I mean, I just can't imagine what it's going to be. And it truly is. I can't. Ear hasn't heard. Eye hasn't seen. Thoughts, imaginations, the intents of the heart. What God has prepared for them that love Him. So this is that precious city. And now you can see, I think, just a little bit. And I know that was brief. And there's so much. You could go into each gem, obviously. And there could be sermons upon sermons. But I hope that you see that there's this beauty that is truly the righteousness of saints. All of the stuff that you get tired of, meaning your own self, which I do. Lord, help me with that. Why do I keep dragging that old stinky man around sometimes, in a sense? As Brother Hill used to say, you know, he's dead. He's dead. And some of those traits that God continues to work on, it's not going to be there anymore. It's gone. It's just going to be Him. And it's just going to be His righteousness. Praise His name. All right, now let's go on to verse 21. And it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now the pearl speaks of ornaments or ornamentation. And again, I guess the Lord gives you different thoughts and things. And you know, we saw these wonderful precious stones in the walls. Well, these pearls are the ornaments of her. I don't know, maybe they're earrings. I don't know really what you want to say here. But this is how she's adorned with all of this beauty, with this magnificence of, and again, the divine blessing that's upon her. Do you realize how divine it is? How 12 and 12 and 12, and it's all there. And as we've seen in this whole city, we've seen the 144,000. We've seen the bride of Christ. We've seen the full overcomers in the Old Testament. You'll see him there in the foundations, because it says there even in the 14th verse, I believe that God is speaking to us something there where it says the city had 12 foundations and in them the names of the 12 apostles. I mean, that was all built upon that. And it truly was. God built that. He brought that together. And then you see that there are the 12 apostles. And then you see in all of those stones as well too, the innumerable multitude. And God's people make up this whole city, and it's complete and it's perfect. Praise His name. And it says, and the 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. And notice again it says street, and we'll read that again. Again, speaking of one street, everything's in complete agreement. The way is there. It's Jesus Christ, as it were, transparent glass. Everything transparent. It keeps bringing that, is that the revelation has come through. It's completely revealed. There's nothing hidden. If you just turn real quick, I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 13:12. I'll read that to you here briefly. That's 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. It's going to be transparent. It's going to be seen. Everything is going to come forth. Jesus Christ, it will be revealed. Faith will be made whole, as you'll see in verse 22 now as we go on. It says, and I saw no temple therein. There wasn't a temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The faith is made whole. Jesus Christ is there. We don't need faith anymore because He's there. It's just, we're in it. Can you imagine? I'm just there. Praise His name. He brings me to those moments here once in a while. I just pray that God just continue to increase those times of fellowship with Him that way. All right. Verse 23. Now let's go on to about the city and its light. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:6. We read this last week, and this is such a precious verse. That's 2 Corinthians 4:6 about this light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light, is the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be there. We are going to be face to face with Him. We're going to behold Him that way. And that is the light of that wondrous city. You know, you think about how close we will be with Him. We will be with Him. You'll be able to touch that wondrous face. I think about the ones that have gone before and that closeness that they have. But yet this is even going to be, obviously, they're waiting. They haven't even received their glorified bodies as of yet. As again, Brother John brought out that the bridal saints have not received their glorified bodies as of yet. They're waiting. Creation groans for the manifestations of the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we're waiting for, and that's what they're waiting for. And I know that they're cheering and saying, Lord, thy will be done. But even so, Lord, let's come quickly. Hallelujah. All right. So, in a sense, I so appreciate this verse too, and maybe just bring in a little thought to our lives here. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What else do we need in our life but Jesus? Nothing. He's bringing a point here, you see. I mean, so many. But this is truly where it breaks down to, brothers and sisters, for us right now. I mean, He's the light now. He's the only sustaining light now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is going to be such a beautiful time. And we are fighting the good fight of faith, but we need to, by the grace of God, enter that truly He is all sufficiency to us. He is everything, every need. He won't forsake us. He abides faithful still. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's your Lord. Let Him speak to you. Okay. And the nations, here we go on to verse 24, of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, the nations of them that are saved is all His family. And there's no darkness there, meaning the family. Because remember, again, I'll kind of bring us back, and I know it's been a couple weeks. But we see this holy Jerusalem, this bride coming down from heaven. And it sits above the new earth, is where it's sitting. And it's sitting right above it. So we have the total family and whole family of God in the new city. But it's also sitting above the new earth. And the new earth has those earthly dwellers that are in it. Those earthly dwellers that have come through, that have had the true obedience to God, that God has allowed to go on. And you think about ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. And again, I don't know exactly what, I mean, it's going to be over everything. But there has to be something to rule and reign over, obviously, as well, too. And I'm sure it will be that earth in a wonderful, loving, godly way. And those earth dwellers that will be there. And they will be able to come in and out of that heavenly city, as we'll read as well, too. They'll be able to go back and forth. But they are a different, in a sense, they're a different level of the people of God, obviously, are here. But they also know Christ Jesus as well, too. But they are a different level, a different type of a believer there. And it does give mention in the Word of God. It gives us a sign that that should be going on forever as well, too. So however God is going to do that, as you can see, I have some thoughts there that God has given me. But again, those are the things that might be more spiritual thinking. And that's time. I will encourage you, brothers and sisters. It's time to sometimes just get with the Lord. Shouldn't be uttered, and stay with it that way. And I mean that. I hope that some of you might understand what I'm talking about. Because some have started to speculate so far out, they start stepping outside of the Word of God. And then you've got a problem. You really do. Because God didn't reveal that. And you know what? The secret things belong unto Him. And He has given us to see what He has given us to see and to know. Praise the Lord. All right. And then it says, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And again, these are the earthly dwellers. So you see that there are the saved nations that shall walk in the light of it. And then the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Then going on to the 25th verse. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Again, this open gate speaks that there is no sin there. There's nothing shut. There's nothing keeping us from God. Faith has been made whole. There is no night. There's no loneliness. I was thinking again how sometimes that night can be so long when we're in despair, can it? It's just like it's never going to end. But it isn't there. Uh-uh. There's never a night because Jesus is there. And again, let that speak to you. I appreciate David the psalmist as he said the Lord would keep him through those times. The Lord was so sweet to him through those times. And we need to allow that light to flood our lives. But again, we see that the blood is on everything here. It's and everything by the grace of God at this time is accepted in that beloved. And it's wonderful that the family of God has come together like this. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Again, Christ is all in all. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Nothing can defile that city, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. It all has to recognize and believe in Christ Jesus. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everything is righteous and holy. Everything has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And this is a wonderful warning here. It says, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You must be on that register right now. You must be. You need to be on that register. And praise God, I'm on that register. If you're a Christian, you're on the register. Praise His name. You're safe. You're secure. Nothing to be ever separated from the love of God. We're there with Him. But you can see the warning here. And it's such a simple warning. But you must be written in the Lamb's book of life. And obviously you remember that from even a chapter or two ago as we read through that. All right. I'd like to get through the next seven verses. And then I think we'll break for the evening. But going on into the 22nd chapter here, it says, and he showed me, and again going on with this wonderful city, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now this is a precious thing here, because in this one verse, which is so wonderful, is that you see the Trinity in this verse. You see the pure river of water of life. That's the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit there, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we see that everything is there, still in that Trinity format. It's so wonderful that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there. There is perfect harmony that's continuing throughout. Notice as well, too, at this city, it talks about this river of life. This water of life. Now, this water in any city is so precious. You have to have water. It's really, truly, in a sense, a lifeblood of the city. And at this time, it's so wonderful because it's a pure river of water of life. I was thinking of the verse, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's no more weak flesh. It's just willing spirit. It's pure. There's no more dissension there. There's no more fighting. There's not a conflict. I mean, I'm excited about that time. I don't know about you, but I know the conflict that goes up in here often. The conflict that's out there, that those are the things that by the grace of God we're overcoming, that He is encouraging us and building the faith to believe Him more and more in this life. But that's that wonderful, pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of God and of the Lamb. Going on, it says, in the midst of the street of it, and here's that street again, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, this is a very interesting verse here. First of all, you'll see that it's so precious that this tree of life, which is representative and is Jesus Christ, the fruit and the feeding of all the saints and even the earth dwellers are dependent upon Jesus. It's the fruit. He is our fruit. It's precious that we are dependent upon Him now, and we will be dependent upon Him for eternity. It's all about Jesus. And so precious here, as you'll see, as we've read, is this tree of life. Now, where have you read about that tree of life before? In Genesis, amen. You read about it way back at the very beginning. Remember? And it was in the garden, right? But there were two trees back there, weren't there? There was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? And then there was also the tree of life. Now, which tree did Adam eat of? The one of knowledge, didn't he? And that brought that knowledge of good and evil into his life. And as you read through there, and I was reading back again just to, just make it so familiar. God, they had to move him out of there, lest he eat from the tree of what? The tree of life. Mm-hmm. They had to get him out of that garden. And the reason they didn't want him to eat at that tree of life is he didn't want him to stay in that sinful state. He had to move him on out. There was a plan. I was thinking, again, I was reading an article written by a sweet Christian man about basically the enemy, the devil, and how God created that devil and created him beautiful, and he was a pipe organ within and all of these different things, but basically made the comment that he was sad, in a sense, that that creation went bad. that it was like an accident. It was no accident. God just didn't go through and, well, this happened and we're going to do it this way. There was a plan. And it's specific. And your life is a specific plan, I promise you. Because the Word of God tells you that. It says that you have foreordained good works that you should walk in them. Do you realize how He cares for you? I'm beginning to just see remotely a little bit of how He cares for me. And how before anything was made, that's what He was working on. My path. Your path. Before the foundations of the world, the universe. I hope that hit something. And that's real. You're not insignificant. You're so significant it would blow you up to really, if we ever come into fullness of that one. That's going to take forever, see? How He loves us. But that's the precious thing here, is that God so loved that He created this wonderful, mighty plan, that there wasn't anything accidental here. It's specific to what He's bringing us to. And in this wonderful scene that we see here in heaven, there's no more tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it's not there. Only the tree of life. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to remain forever. Isn't that precious? That's it. And it's good. And it's not just good, it's perfect. Praise His name. And that's what we have become part of by being part of the family of God. We've entered into that relationship with Him. All right. So going on, it says that there was the tree of life, which bear 12 manner. Oh, there's that 12 again. The divine blessing. It's divine food. Of fruits. The fruit speaks of bread. You'll read this. Brother Copley has a wonderful note on it. And the bread, the fruit is the bread for some, and yielded her fruit every month. So again, we were continually fed. We're going to be continually fed perfectly. It's going to be a divine feeding. It's a divine blessing. And the leaves of the tree, which speaks of manna. So there's bread for some and there's manna for other. There's meat for some that people are eating on, and some people are feasting upon the milk. They're different foods. These are different saints. Praise God. And who are these leaves for? Were for the healing of the nations, the earth dwellers. And it wasn't a healing there. That's actually an incorrect word. It means the nurturing and the attending. God attends and He nurtures through His Son. But you notice, whether it's the earth dwellers or whether it's the heavenly city, who are they all feasting on? Jesus Christ. Still Jesus. Nothing else. The plan is all in the Son. All right. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Now, it's interesting here. We go back into the servants. You know, there's Marthas that are here, huh? And there's going to be Marthas over there. And the Marthas that are here are going to be the Marthas over there. And the Marys that are here are going to be the Marys over there. All right? That's why I said that there's, remember the palm wavers? All right? Okay, now a lot of times you're thinking, well, wait a second, how is some person that's going to be a servant going to be happy waving a palm over there? We're talking about Jesus. Again, this is a sign, it's a type, but I'll guarantee you, by the grace of God, as it tells us in this word, we will be so satisfied. But again, why not have His joint reigning that He's offering to us? All right. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And again, this is not the bridal name. This is the name in the foreheads of the one seen in Revelation 7:3, Revelation 9:4, that innumerable company, those that are found under the altar as well too. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And again, let that just speak to you right now in your life, is that you don't have any other need but the light of your wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And remember how we've read about the wonderful, faithful and true? That's our wonderful Lord. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now if you bring 6 and 7, back together, and it says, the Lord God of the holy prophets. This is speaking about Jesus again. This is the angel of His presence that's seen there in Exodus 33. This is wonderful. You know, a lot of people have always thought that, well, the one that really led the children in the wilderness and did all that, that was God back then. That wasn't Jesus. The angel of His presence, that's His Son. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He believed, Abraham believed, and it was counted for him for righteousness, wasn't it? It was all about the blood back then. It's all about the blood still today. It's all going to be about the blood for eternity. It's in His Son. It's in His wonderful Son. Behold, I come quickly. See, He's setting that off again. Be ready. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now we opened, and I'll just close with this, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, we saw this same call here to us. It says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right? Now we get, behold, I come quickly. Even a little bit more urging, isn't it now? You'll notice here too that there's no more reading and hearing. We're beyond that now. Keep it. And that word keep, it means to have joy in. Have joy in. Isn't that wonderful? Treasure. Treasure it. This is yours. This is your inheritance. This is what he's talking about. That's why he said, blessed are ye. These aren't just words. This is yours. This is more yours than, by the grace of God, the home you'll go in tonight. The car that you'll get in. The clothes that you're wearing. That's temporal and it'll be gone. This is your forever. Joy in it. Treasure it. Behold, I come quickly. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again. We praise you for your word. We are just so thrilled that you love us so much. Thank you again for bringing us out this evening. Thank you for hearts that, you know, truly do want to hear your word and to feast upon the wonderful bread, Lord God. Just nourish our bodies with it, Lord God. Nourish our souls. Grow us up. Let us be the mature men and women of God. Help us to be ready. And we say, behold, Lord, even so, come quickly. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.